There are things in our life that are visible. They're a visible expression, but they are tied to something deeper. Something, it's not just the visible expression that's coming out. They're signs of something deeper or something internal, something that's happened or is happening in our life, right? So there are visible expressions. I'm going to have Cheryl come up and just stand on this end of the platform. And there are visible expressions, and some of them are positive or negative, right, in our life. And if Cheryl's going to cross her arms right now, kind of look at me with an eye roll. I've received that before. That's a visible expression. There's no one here right now that assumes, hey, Cheryl's just got a hitch in her eye, and she's chilly. No one thinks that. That's an expression of something that's going on inside of her or inside of this relationship. On the flip side of that, if you see us at a distance and there's nothing, and you don't see anything else, and you see us walking along like this, you don't think, well, that's just this, he's just trying to keep her from falling into the street or something. But that says something about what's going on inside of this relationship, right? Or what's inside of us. Just like the eye roll and the hand crossing, the arm crossing is that sign of that something deeper. So is that expression, this very positive expression. You can sit down. I did warn her just 3 seconds before I come up on here. I said I might need you as a sermon illustration. And it's not, I have it written, I've had it written in my notes, I just didn't brief Cheryl. But we can see how those expressions are so readable, so to speak. And they have a deeper meaning. There's something greater that's happening in the life of that person or that relationship. At a distance, we can see that something is right or very right or something is very wrong. And there are at least two outward expressions of a deeper truth that God has set forth for us in the church. He said, I want you to have this expression of what's going on inside of you or what's going inside of this relationship that I have with you. I want you to have this expression of that so that you have a way to display that or to know that there's more than just going on, just more than just the simple going on. I'm going to use some very simple things, he says, but they're deeper than that. It's as simple as an eye roll and crossed hands or an embrace on an arm or holding on to hands. They're very simple things, but they have a huge internal thing going on. And God says these are very simple things, but they're huge. And what they're pointing to is out of this world. And I'm going to give you something very practical to be able to point to those things that are going on inside of you or inside this relationship. We refer to those in the church terminology. And I spent some time in the court system lately and found out I don't know too many legal terms. I don't even know how to spell them to look them up. But in this church world, we refer to those over history have been referred to as an ordinance. And an ordinance is an authoritative, the two definitions, an authoritative rule or law, a decree or command. But in the ecclesiastical realm, or in the church realm, in the gathering of the church, it's an established ceremony. And so we can argue whether it's a law or a command, and okay, but at least it's an established ceremony that God has established for you and I to what? To express what's going on in us or in this relationship with Him. I'm going to set up these two things up so that you can, very simple things, so that you can express and have this external expression of what's going on inside of you or inside this relationship with me. We call them communion and we call them baptism. They are those two outward expressions of something going on inside of us or inside this relationship with God. Am I making okay sense today? In the 5th century, Augustine called them, these things, the visible form of an invisible grace. And I really like that. So 1,500 years ago, Augustine says, these are visible forms of an invisible grace. And so God has set these up. An embrace. So give this outside demonstration of what he's doing or what he has done in a relationship with us. What's going on in our relationship? Communion does not dispense the grace. It is a symbol to remind us of the grace that's already been dispensed. That's my firm belief on that. It's not just what dispenses the grace. It's what points to the grace that's already been on the table for you and I. He said, I'm not waiting to give you grace. I want to point toward the grace. The table is loaded with grace. And baptism does not dispense the grace. It is a symbol of the grace that has already been dispensed in someone's life. So we're not looking for God's grace. It is here. It has been expressed. We're looking for those things that God says, use these to give evidence of what's going on in the relationship between you and me. This embrace, this handhold. Because I want you to remember. I want you, sometimes it's just hard to say, even put in words, what God's doing. And sometimes celebrating communion and celebrating baptism is just that moment when we can just say, thank you, Jesus. Dot, dot, dot. I'm not looking for the grace. I'm celebrating the grace that's there. 1 Corinthians 11 says this, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not. Communion, while it uses something as common as bread and juice, it's not a common meal, he said. You can't just serve juice and peanut butter sandwiches and everybody gobbles it down and say, oh, we celebrated communion. He said, I want it separated more than that. I want it to be a symbol of what I've done in your life. It's not just your everyday drive-through McDonald's meal. While it uses bread and juice, you can buy those at McDonald's. While it uses those very common things, it's not a common thing that it's pointing to. Am I making sense today? So I want it to point to something, and I'm not going to say, oh, you got to go find caviar, and you got to go find some 100-year-old wine. It's everyday stuff, but it's, even though you use an everyday stuff, doesn't mean you're celebrating what I want you to celebrate every single time you eat a sandwich. So set it apart. Use bread and juice, but set it apart. For, he says, it goes on the passage, for I received from the Lord what also I pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Wow. He took the loaf of Stroman's right off the table. This is no longer a meal, guys. This is communion. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. See what he wants to do? He wants to use very common elements to point towards something that's happening in the relationship with God. Very powerful with juice and bread. Not looking for it to dispense grace, but pointing toward the grace that's already been dispensed. Do this in remembrance of me. And so he said, point toward what? Point toward this. Point, push the button, please. Point toward this. Then Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. Point toward, what should I remember? Jesus is the bread of life. See what he wants to point us toward? Do this in remembrance of me. I'm the bread of life. Don't lose it. I got you. So in this moment, when you're using some very common elements, let it point you toward Jesus. He's the bread of life, he says. Jesus, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I'm the light of the world. Let it point you toward that. Listen, communion is not somebody that's got it all right. It's somebody that needs to be pointed toward Jesus. Someone who needs to have a handhold and understand that the Savior is handholding you or embracing you because he's the light of the world, because he's the bread of life. And maybe he wants you to remember this, push the button. He wants you to remember, before Abraham, I am. Whatever your issue is, I got it. Remember that. It's already on the table. I'm not waiting for that to be dispensed in my life. It's already there. Remember, Jesus is in your life. Well, why does he show up? Maybe the timing, I don't know. But it's there. Point toward the I am. What's he saying there? He says, I'm God. Before Abraham, I am. I'm telling you what, the Pharisees understood very well what he was saying right there, because at that they picked up stones and they were going to stone him. They knew that he was claiming to be God. And maybe he wants us to remember that he's the gate and whoever enters will be saved. You're going to come in and out, and I'm going to do business with you on a regular basis. Maybe he wants us to remember that he is the good shepherd. I don't know how to get along in life. I don't know what I'm doing. My life is so chaotic. My life is so confusing. I keep running into walls. I keep tripping over things. And so maybe at this moment, when just bread and juice that points you toward Jesus is saying, Jesus, I need you as shepherd. Because in this moment, the simple things have pointed me toward you, and I need to remember. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. See, sometimes I need to be pointed toward God and toward Jesus to say, it's not over. Whatever I think is too far over the bridge to be healed, to be expressed, whatever, it's not. Mary and Martha both said about Lazarus, when Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, when he said that, he said, it's one of my favorite verses in the King James, oh Lord, by now he stinketh. It's too late, Jesus. It's too late. If you would have showed up last week, something could have happened, but it's too late. Jesus says, it's never too late with me. It's never too late. See what he wants to do? Just this simple bread and juice to point us toward Jesus. Powerful. This outward expression of something going on in this relationship. Maybe he wants you to know that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe he wants you to know that he's the vine. Verse 26 of that Corinthians passage says this, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I think that's the thing I want to point you toward, the work of the cross. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, don't just include it as part of your meal, he said. Examine yourself. Let it point you toward Jesus. So we take this communion today, not as something weird, but it's something that says, I love you. And this outward expression of something that's so real inside of this relationship with Jesus. So I'm going to have some guys come. Listen, you're more than welcome to take this communion with us. It's between you and God. And you don't have to be a member. Whether you're a first time here or have never been here, taking communion does not matter with us. But we're gonna pass the bread. I'm just gonna ask that everyone just holds it, because we're all gonna go together, because it's gonna point us toward Jesus. While the music plays, you can leave the music playing. While the music plays and we pass the bread, just to be honest, we have multiple people that listen on the live feed on Facebook. I'm asking those people that are at home right now, go to your bread box. Get a piece of bread, hold it in your hand just for a few moments. We want you to be here in spirit, and it's not just normal bread, it's something that's pointing you toward. And grab that juice or whatever you may have in the refrigerator, celebrate communion with us. I speak to those who are watching online. And I'm going to pray and just thanking the Lord for this memory, this simpleness that's pointing us toward Him. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for these moments together. Thank you for taking something as simple as bread and using it as something that points us toward this amazing relationship that we have with you. That Jesus, you so desperately wanted us to remember who you are, that on that night you were betrayed, you're about ready to go to the cross, and you're saying to your disciples, guys, you're going to need to remember who I am. Use bread and juice, these normal things that we've just celebrated this meal with, but draw them away from the table for a moment and let them point you toward me, because you're going to need to know that I'm the Savior. I'm the sanctifier, I'm the healer, and I'm the coming King. And you and I got this relationship going. Father, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. In Jesus' name, let us partake together. God, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the work of the cross. Thank you for the broken body. Thank you for the shed blood. Life is in the blood. And you shed your blood to give us life. Thank you, Jesus. May this symbol, this simple juice, point us toward this amazing relationship that we have with you, Jesus. And how full the table of grace is in our life. In Jesus' name, let us partake together. If you could just hang on to your cup, we'll collect those after a bit here. The second ordinance is baptism. The second set apart ceremony by God is baptism. Baptism, while it uses something as common as water, it is not a bath or a shower. It is a unique and special event, a visible action that bears witness to a deeper truth. What is that deeper truth that it's pointing toward? Well, let me just share a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to ask those that are going to be baptized to come. Yet, it says in John, it says, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of the husband's will, or the human decision or husband's will, but born of God. What's it pointing toward? Someone who is born of God. What does it mean? What does it mean to be born of God? What does it mean to believe and to be born of God? What does it mean to be a child of God? Because that's what it's pointing toward. That's what baptism is pointing toward. 1 John 5, 11 and 12 says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's life. So as we become this child of God, we receive life. Romans 6, 11 says this, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. See, when we're a child of God and we've been given life, he cuts that uncuttable bond between us and sin. He cuts that as you become a child. He cuts the umbilical cord that's hooked to sin. He cuts it. and he plugs it into himself. You become a child of God. You become someone who has received life. Romans 8:1 says this, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you're standing free. What does it mean to be a child of God? You stand free. Baptism is to point us toward those who become children of God. Say, hey, you become a child of God. This is symbol. This is the symbol of that. Just water and some old crates and an old tarp and maybe a piece of leaking out the side. It's not just that, though. It's not just a swimming pool. It's not. It's something that's greater than that. It's water, yes, but it's symbolizing that there's no condemnation in you anymore. You don't stand guilty before God. You're a child of God. You've been disconnected from sin and hooked into God. Corinthians says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is done, the new has come. I'm resisting, really. I got to shut up here. But this is too packed up. So why are you coming? And those who are being baptized know some of this already. I'm coming because I'm a child of God. I'm coming because I have been cut loose from sin and plugged into God. I'm coming because I have been given life. I'm coming because there's no condemnation in me anymore. I stand free. I'm coming because I am a new person in Christ. And I want that to be a symbol of this, of that reality in this baptism. I don't need a shower or a bath right now. I need to be baptized. To let people know that this is who I am in Christ. So I'm going to ask Cindy to come. Mike, can you help? Cindy was highly concerned. She so desperately wanted to be baptized and let everybody know that you're free. But she was concerned with the oxygen and everything, whether she could get in the tank today. I said, listen, I got a cup. We'll bring the tank to you, honey. And so we're going to baptize Cindy by pouring over her today. And we're going to watch her be baptized. It's awesome. Cindy, the question I told everybody that I'm going to ask, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that you're a child of the Most High God?
Yes, I do.
Step ahead on the rugs. As a result of Cindy's testimony and my commission through the Great Commission to baptize, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Should have everybody wired.
She looked at me with God-filled eyes and she said, I have been forgiven. You can have a seat in your seat. MJ, can you? You can keep it. Thank you.
baptized, those who have come to be baptized. MJ, can you give this to Cindy? I'm going to ask those who will be coming to be baptized, as you come, as we call your name, will you pick one of these off of the table? It's just a hanky that we had made. It says baptized on this day. And we're going to use this to baptize you. So please grab one off the table as you come. Doreen, come. Doreen, are you a child of the Most High God?
I am.
Do you know you've been set free?
I know. I'm free. I'm free of sin.
Do you know that you're a new person? Because of your testimony and my commission, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I need you to move ahead just a little bit more. Maggie. It's not warm, is it?
It's okay.
Maggie is relatively new to New Life. Not new life, but new life. So Maggie, I ask you, are you a child of the Most High God?
I am certainly, yes.
Do you know that you've been set free?
Yes, I do.
Do you know that you're a new creation? Jerry. school.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe not quite as bad as the river this morning, but. Jerry is real new in the kingdom of God. Real new. Sherry, do you know that Jesus showed up in your life and set you free from sin?
Yes.
Do you understand that you are his daughter?
Yes, I do.
Do you understand that you're a new woman? You're a new creation?
Yes.
Because of your proclamation, my commission, we baptize you in the name of the Father.
Isaiah. Feel free to stand right next to the tank, Mom and Dad, if you want. So. Need a cloth, Isaiah. I've asked Isaiah to stand on the step. Just stand there for a minute. Stay right there, okay? Yeah, it is cold. Yeah. Tobin and I have either become numb or it's warmed up. So.
No, I'm getting numb.
Isaiah, he came to me last Wednesday and he says, can I be baptized? And it was almost, I get this sense that it was almost like, can I unwrap my biggest gift for Christmas? That's the excitement that he had. And I know there was a lot going on Wednesday evening. I said, Isaiah, you're going to need to talk to your mom and dad. And off he went to find his mom. There was no holding him back. So, Isaiah, do you know that you know Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
And you're ready to be baptized and say, I want everybody to know I know Jesus.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Mason. You're taller than Isaiah. I just can't. These are one of those moments I just can't believe I get to do this. Mason's grandfather was very instrumental in me coming to Christ. Year after year, he prayed and he shared. He wept when I came to Christ. He wept with me. And I can remember when he said, hey, I got a grandson. And I've walked with Mason's family for years and years and years. And I'm so fortunate to be able to be a part of this moment. I'm honored. Mason, do you know that you're a child of the Most High God?
Yes, I do.
Do you know that you've been set free from sin?
Absolutely.
Do you know that you're a new creation?
Yes.
Brought an extra towel and an extra hanky just in case. Just in case someone says, I want to do it today. I want to show my relationship with Jesus. Maybe you want to give your heart to Jesus right now. Just say to him, forgive me. I give my heart to you right now. And if that was you and you're and God's saying, go up there. That towel's for you. That last hanky is for you. We're not going to belabor this point, but I'm not going away without offering it. Anyone here want to respond and say, I want to be baptized? That is that that's what God's doing all over our hearts. I'm unhooking you from stuff, weighing you down, carrying you. I'm unhooking you. I'm taking it out of your pockets. I'm taking it out of your hearts. I'm readying you for a relationship with me. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And I'm doing a work in your heart right now. Let me free you up. Let me free you up. Let me free you up. Just because I only brought one towel. Cindy's done with hers. You're definitely taller than Isaiah. Kyle, are you a son of the Most High God?
Yes, I am.
Do you know that you've been set free?
Yes.
Do you know that you're a new creation in Christ?
I do.
Thank you.
Tell everybody who you are.
I'm Bentley.
Bentley is... Bentley, do you know Jesus as your Savior?
Yes, I do.
And I don't know if you fully understand this yet, but you're a new creation. Do you know that?
Yes, I do.
Then because of your testimony and because of my commission, I'm going to baptize you. Does anyone here want to just come forward and say, I want to be baptized? Let me pray. Would you stand with me, New Life? Would you stand with me? God, what a day. Thank you for bread and juice. Thank you for water. But thank you for the grace that they point us toward. Thank you, Jesus, for the work on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the gate, that you are the good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the resurrection and the life. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the men and women, young or all walking with you. Thank you for these moments together. God, we're going to leave here today, but I got to be honest, this day will be etched in my heart for a long, long time. So thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. New Life. Go in the power of God. Be the gospel witness that He wants us to be. And we'll gather here again as the church next Sunday. Have a great day.